The empty deception of the world. Colossians 2, verse 8. This is a picture of the world. When you look at it from afar, it looks real peaceful. And truth of the matter is, it could be real peaceful. But that's really not the case. When you look at it from afar, you see all the beauty and all the might that comes along with it. I've often wondered, what would it be like if I was an astronaut and I got to go up in orbit and see the world from that perspective? It looks so peaceful. But it's really not, and I think we know the reason why it's not peaceful. The reason it's not peaceful is because of people. People are what makes the world not peaceful. God put it here. He made it for everything that we need. But yet, especially during today, there are so many things going on in the world that makes it just chaotic. There's stuff at every corner. There are people doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And let's just be honest about it. The world nowadays is filled with God-hating people, with arrogant people, with idol-worshiping people. And the crazy part about it is these people nowadays claim that they know everything. It's like every time you turn on the TV, there's another expert at something telling you what it is or what it's not or why it should be. It's just the way that it is. And to be completely honest, at this point in our society, I think this is the point where we probably know less than we've ever known before. I know you're saying, with all the technology that's going around, with all the things that are out there, with all the iPads and the computers and the iPhones, you'd say that we know more now because we have all this technology. But the truth of the matter is, if we don't understand about God and salvation, then we know absolutely nothing as a society. Because all these things are just going to pass away, right? We know that everything on this earth is only going to be here for a while, but eternity lasts forever. So if we are so souped up and worried about all the stuff in this earth, all the technology and everything that goes along with it, then us as a society, we don't know anything at all. And so when us as Christians, a lot of times we use the term the world, or we don't want to be in the world, and we don't want to be, you know, a part of the world, and we need to come out of the world. Just for this lesson, I want you to think of the world as people. I want you to replace that world with people, because that's, in essence, what it boils down to a lot of the time. It's people. You know, David did a devotion a couple Wednesday nights ago, and he was talking about the Amazon things that you sit on your counter, the little Google box, the Google Home. We have one at home. And he was saying, if you go and ask this little Google thing about Jesus, it shy away from that. It'd say, I don't know anything about that. But if you ask it about Buddha, or you ask it about somebody else, and it'd give you this long thing of what's going on. The lies and deceptions are everywhere. We can't turn from it. That's the truth of the matter. Last week, we talked about Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. And it says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. That's what we talked about the last time I preached. I don't think it was last week, whenever it was, a couple weeks ago. That's what we talked about. We talked about being rooted and grounded in Christ. We talked about being built up in him and focusing on him. How we not need to study for the purpose of proving a point or winning an argument, but really understanding what Christ is trying to say. We said it'd be a good idea to look at the Sermon on the Mount, as Chad's been preaching about, and understand the essence of what he's trying to say, rather than plucking one verse out and using it for our argument, because that really does us not a lot of good. We ask, what kind of root systems do we have? If we're rooted in Christ and we have an elaborate root system, wind shouldn't be able to come and push us over. We should be able to stand firm to what's going on. We should be able to do as we ought to do as Christians, because things are going to come. That's just an inevitable about it. But if we are rooted and grounded in Christ, these things won't happen. And the big question was, why should we do that? Now, in that sermon, I spoke a little bit about it, but really it was to get to this. It was verse 8. Paul says in verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy an empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. That's what we're going to focus on today. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to dive into this as best we can, because there's a lot of things here to talk about rather than just scraping the surface. It's important that with all Scripture, with every bit of it, we get down to it and we do our very best to take the words off the page and apply them in our lives and really understand what the writer was trying to say. It's so easy to go and read the Bible and say, I read this chapter and that's all good and wonderful, but if we don't take those things and then go home and study, then we're doing no good. So we're going to dive right in, and the first thing that I want to bring to your attention is this word captive. Paul uses this word, and he could have used any word in the dictionary, but he decided to use captive. And at first glance, you think, oh, well, captive is not that big of a deal. It just means that, you know, somebody's going to come and, you know, maybe, you know, grab me or something like that. At the end of the day, captive means to take captive, carry off as prey, or met, or victims of fraud. I did a little research on this, and if you dig a little bit deeper, what he was saying is basically to bring up under bondage, if that makes any sense. It means to... He used the word, if you look at the definition, it uses the term called booty. And you'll see that mentioned in 1 Samuel chapter 30. It means war spoils. When somebody goes to war back in those times, and there would be people or things that were gathered during that war, and then the army that won that war would take these things back with them and hold them. They would be prisoners of war. That's what it was talking about, and that's what he's saying here. He's saying, don't let people grab you. Don't let the empty deceptions of the world grab you and take you bondage. Now, the thing about it is, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, I don't know what you think about it, and I don't know how I would think about it either without doing a study, but if somebody's going to come take you captive, they're not going to come take you captive and knock on your door and say, hey, by the way, I'm here, and I want to grab you, and I want to do some bad stuff to you, and so won't you come with me? That's really not how it works. And Paul gets to that a little bit later on. See, nobody will envision sitting in their house at night, 9 o'clock, looking at their favorite TV show, and wants to see this army behind them showing up at their door. Could you imagine sitting there and somebody, that army just comes out of nowhere and say, it's time to pay the piper, come on and come with me, it's over, you're under my control. Nobody wants to think about that. And you know, when you think about this taking captive, I think us as Christians, we have it wrong sometimes. I think we do, but we'll talk about it in this few minutes that I have. So we think about the predator being like this tiger up here. We think about the predator as something that you can see. We think about the predator being something that, you know, you can put up a defense against. So you see this tiger, and if that tiger was real and he turned and looked at you, what would you do? You'd be like, uh-oh, the tiger's looking at me. And then if that tiger all of a sudden got up and started walking towards you, you'd be like, oh, it's time to move because this tiger's coming at me. See, we know things are out there. We know things may be trying to come and get us. And a lot of times as Christians, we look at the predator as something we can see just like this. We can easily diagnose it. We can easily figure out what the problem is, and all of a sudden when that problem comes at us, we'll be able to hop on it and tackle it in no time. But Paul is not saying that. Paul is saying that the enemy is going to be like this. Paul is saying that it's going to sneak up on you. See, at first glance, you say this is just a grocery store aisle. But really, it's not just a grocery store aisle. If you look closely, you can see there's actually a guy there painted as a grocery store aisle. And Paul is saying people are going to sneak up on you and grab you captive just like this. See, here's the deal. If you saw this tiger walking by that I had on the screen before, you'd automatically say, that's a tiger, and I need to be afraid, and I need to get out of the way. At least that's what I would say. Maybe I'm just a scary dude. But if you go down a grocery store aisle on your normal everyday journey, your guard's down. You're not looking for somebody to snatch you up. You're not looking for somebody to do anything of danger to you. You're just like, I'm going to the grocery store. And Paul is saying, and we'll talk about that a little bit more, that this is the kind of stuff that'll get us. This is the stuff that we're, when our guard is down and we're thinking this is a normal situation, then boom, all of a sudden, this guy hops out and he grabs you. That's what he's saying. And the reason why he's saying that, he says, and I'm going to insert some words here just as I've explained a little bit. See to it that no one takes you in bondage through philosophy and empty deception. And we'll talk about this philosophy for a second. What exactly is philosophy? Well, if you look it up in the dictionary, it says the study of fundamental nature of knowledge, reality, and the existence, especially when it is considered an academic discipline. Now, as Christians, we ought to know that everything that we have as far as knowledge comes from God anyway. It's not like us on this earth, we came up with something on our own. It's not like we just, you know, woke up and said, you know what? I'm going to grow a tree. And we've never seen a tree before. It's not like we said we're going to do something that God hadn't given us in the first place. So when I see philosophy, it would make sense to me that if you want to know the nature of knowledge, then you study God because he's the one who put everything here in the first place. But we'll get away from that because that's not really my point. It was just a little bone that I had to pick about philosophy in the first place. The thing that I want to say is philosophy can be dead wrong. Because at the end of the day, philosophy is coming from a man. So philosophy can be absolutely wrong. You can have a so-called philosopher who is supposed to be just an expert in this particular field and be as wrong can be. That's the truth of the matter. In the Colossian church, and I just want to make this clear what Paul is saying here. I don't want to get too off, you know, target what he was saying. They had their own philosophers in that day that they were dealing with some things that were not really Christ-like. They were dealing with Jewish philosophers. They were dealing with Greek philosophers. If you turn to verse 16, they were talking about a festival that they were having there, and that lets you know that they were dealing with, Paul is saying, don't worry about that stuff. That lets you know that they were dealing with all kinds of stuff. That's the reason why he wrote this in the first place. He's saying, I know you're in an area that people are trying to pull and tug and take you all over the place, but don't listen to that. Because that's not going to do you any good. That's what he's saying in the long run here. Remember, philosophers are people. Remember, the world is full of people. So when you see something like philosophers and when you see stuff like the world, I want you to really think about where it comes from. Let's talk about the top philosophers today and why they are so-called the top philosopher. Then this will paint the picture as to what Paul was saying. So one area that they focus on is science. Okay, I can see that. Another area that they focus on is artificial intelligence. Can't see that. But here's number three that came up on the list. And when I saw this, I did a little research. It actually just kind of made me sit back in my chair. Religious criticism. These philosophers nowadays are philosophers because they say that they can prove that God doesn't exist. That they can prove that God is just something that we came up with. They can prove that the universe happened with the big old explosion, something out of nothing, which we've never been able to prove before. And this is what these people are so-called philosophers about. And so you think about that, what's going on today, and we know that man does the same thing over and over and over and over again. Paul was saying that to the Colossian church. There are people out there going to be talking about stuff that's just not true. And they're going to claim to be smart. They're going to claim to know it all. And you know what? And the crazy part about it is the philosophers today, they have millions of followers. These people that say there is no God, God doesn't exist, you guys just made that up. You go to their Facebook page or their Twitter or whatever it is, all that stuff, they have tons of people clinging to what they say instead of this. And it doesn't make any sense to me, and it didn't make any sense to Paul, and that's why he said, don't pay any attention to that, because you're going to put yourself in a situation that is not going to be very good. And a lot of people say that at the end of the day, philosophy, and this is people of the world, remember, people, that philosophy is so good and philosophy is so great. The only thing that we can be sure of, church, it's 100% accurate, is this. Let's just focus on this. We don't need to be so smart where we got to go listen to a philosopher. Remember, every man or woman on this earth got whatever they got from God. So let's remember that. And if you want to go look up one of these philosophers and just see how ridiculous it is, you can look up a guy by the name of Daniel Dennett. I'll tell you, it's pretty amazing. We'll move on. See to it that no one takes you in bondage through philosophy and empty deception. Now, deception would have been a word all, that would have been just fine. But he goes as far as says empty deception. It's almost like I really want to make this point of what I'm trying to say here. Deception comes from the word deceive. We get that. And I want to give you another scripture. This is Hebrews 3 and 13. It says, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So we can see that. We all know as Christians that sin is deceitful. We know that if you take sin at face value, it may look good, it may sound good, it may feel good, it may go down easy, it may be all of those things, but we know that sin leads to death. Maybe not a physical death, but absolutely a spiritual death. The scripture said when sin is full grown, it leads to death. So that's the picture that the Hebrew writing is saying here in Hebrews 3 and 13, that sin is deceitful in that manner, that at face value, everything is good to go. But once you just dig into it a little bit deeper, that's the kind of deceitfulness that Paul is speaking about here. So he's saying that at face value, what these people are saying, what these people are trying to give to the Colossian church, it may sound good, but he's saying once you dig into it just a little bit deeper, there is absolutely nothing there. And like I said, he could have just said deceitful, but he goes as far as says empty deception, because he really wants to make the point that if you fall victim to this stuff, you may be in bad shape. Because there's no reason why you as a church should fall victim to this, because like he said in verse 6 and verse 7, if you're rooted and grounded in Christ, these things won't be a big deal at all. And I think for us today as Christians that we have to be very careful of this too. We have to be very careful that we're just not walking around and there's all these people out there that claim to be smart. We have to be careful that we're not walking around paying attention to things that we don't have any business paying attention to, and we fall victim to this as well. If the Colossian church can do it, and we know that man hadn't changed since the beginning of time, then we can fall victim to it as well. We'll move on. See to it that no one takes you in bondage through philosophy and empty deception, which we know can be absolutely 100% lies, according to traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world. Now, we already said earlier that the world means people. We've already said that. Why is Paul calling this elementary? One reason is because if we're not rooted and grounded in Christ, something simple can trick us up. That's one reason. Let me be clear about something. Paul, in this particular case, was talking about elementary principles of religion. That's what he was saying. Back in those times, people were trying to take bits and pieces of the gospel, make it for what they wanted it to be, and then say, this is the gospel. I'm going to use one of Chad's terms. Surely that's not happening today, right? Did I sound good? Thank you. But that's the truth. That's what they were doing. They were taking bits and pieces out of it and trying to make it the gospel. And that's pretty elementary to do that. I mean, that's like saying a kid has a car and it has four wheels on it. And then another kid comes up and says, I'm going to take that tire. But this tire is now the car. And your car with the three wheels on it is not the car anymore. This one tire is the car. That's just so simple. And that's what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, why are these people doing that? They surpassed the essence of what the scriptures were trying to say in the first place and made their own. And if we want to fast forward the clock, that's where all the so-called fake religion is today. Let's think about it. All religions out there, and I use that very lightly, all religions out there have some essence of the truth in it. Some may say, you got to get baptized, but you got to get baptized for the name of somebody else. And some may say, you got to believe, but you don't have to be baptized. And some may say, you got to obey. Oh, but you don't have to be faithful until death. See, they'll take bits and pieces out of it, and that's how you have all the so-called religions today. This stuff was going on then, and it's definitely going on now. And the same lesson that he was saying then for them, for the Colossian church, is absolutely applicable to us today. You know, he used the word elementary. And at first I was going through this and I was studying and I was like, elementary, I got it. But I said, my itch is just not being scratched with the amount of studying that I was doing on it. I wanted to go a little bit deeper and figure out exactly what was going on. Here's some kids in elementary school. They are happy as happy can be. You ever seen kids in school once they, not the first day, I'm not talking about the first day. The first day they're, whew. But once they get used to it, I mean, and they get their little friends and so on and so forth, they are just genuinely happy to go. I can remember my kid when he was, you know, halfway through kindergarten, he liked the teacher, and they spent like 7 hours out of the 8 hours outside. It was just a wonderful time. That's just the way it was. But what's something that elementary age kids, they just don't have? They're pretty and they're adorable and they're all these things. They have all the wonderful, you just want to pick them up and hug them. They have all those. But that, what's something that they don't have? I'll give you a couple. They don't have a lot of reasoning, and they don't have a lot of critical thinking skills. That's something that an elementary age kid just won't have. See, there is no way that a five-year-old should have a math problem and bring it to an adult, or any kind of problem for that matter, and we not be able to easily figure it out as an adult. There's no way. I mean, could you imagine your kid goes to kindergarten and is like, all right, mom, the teacher told me to get this right. Come home and talk to you about it. What's 5 + 5? And you're like, I really don't. It's the plus part that tricked me up. Could you imagine that? I mean, but in all seriousness, though, but that just doesn't make any sense. It's an elementary problem. There's no way that something like that should trip us up, especially with all the life experiences that we have. Take the math problem out the door. Let's just say it's another problem. You know, hey, mom, Billy did this to me at school. Could you imagine your kid comes home and you say that and you're like, well, I don't know what to tell you, son. Just figure it out on your own. You wouldn't say that. You, with your life experiences and being at that age and understanding everything about life, would say, look, son, the answer to the question is 10. Look, son, if Billy's picking on you, this is what you do, right? You'd have the answer to that question. I'm going to give you another one here. This guy is supposed to be walking on this line. He's supposed to just put his, you know, one behind the other. You can't see me. One behind the other, right? And that's easy. I mean, I'd say not 100% of people, but most people in this congregation, if I said, let's walk on this line, you could do it. So the cops, when they're pulling somebody over for DUI, and they say, walk this line, that is pretty easy to do. Or when they say, take your finger and put it on your nose, that's pretty easy to do, right? But why is it that if somebody's drunk, I've seen videos on YouTube, and I'm not saying I like to do that, but I've seen videos on YouTube where somebody's drunk like that, and they start here, and they wind all the way up over here trying to walk that line. And then you ask yourself, why is it that they can't walk a simple line? This is easy. This is elementary. How come they can't do it? It's because they're impaired. So Paul says, with the deceit, with the philosophy, those are things that can basically get in your system and mess things up. It's kind of like alcohol to a drunk person. See, if he was sober and he had nothing in his system that could cloud his judgment, mess with his motor skills, anything like that, he'd just be able to walk that line easy. Oh, sure, I can walk that line. But when he introduces things in his system that don't belong. Now that simple line is not so simple anymore. So us as Christians, we have a line that we're supposed to be walking. We're supposed to keep our eyes focused on Christ. And if we're doing what we're supposed to do, no, it may not be a walk in the park, but we sure can keep our eyes on him and stay focused and stay right on that line. But when we start intoxicating our system with things from the world, with TV shows and philosophies of men and the deceit that Paul was talking about, see, this is to the essence of what Paul was saying. If you start doing those things, then these problems aren't so elementary anymore. Now we are in a mess, as we say in the South. My point here is not about some guy that can't pass a test. My point here is, just like Paul's point is, stay rooted and grounded in Christ so that you will never get to this predicament. That's what his point is. See, without being rooted and grounded, the deceitfulness, the lies, the philosophy, and everything else will look like this. We talked about it. It'll look just like that. You won't be able to easily spot it. You'll assume that it's safe. You'll assume that you're protected. And the truth is, you're walking around in the danger zone. I could be walking around in the danger zone. Things will be hiding in plain sight, and you won't even recognize it. That's the sad part. Remember, he said to be held captive. That's what he said. Remember, I talked about the army sneaking up on you and coming late at night. And you're sitting in your recliner, and this army come knocks on your door and says, all right, it's time to pay now. I'm the army. Let's go. I'm going to hold you captive. You're not in control anymore. You do what I say. Well, what's hiding in plain sight in our lives that could come in and swoop us away without even knowing it? One could be TV. Right? There's so many shows on TV that we as Christians probably shouldn't look at, because there's things in there that 100% goes against Christ and everything that he stands for, but we justify it by saying, oh, I can pick that stuff out. Right? Oh, wait a minute. Back up. You mean to tell me that I'm saying that you may not be able to decipher on a TV show when you've gone past the point of something that you ought to be looking at? I'm going to back up a little bit, because who am I to say that? Paul is somebody who can say it. I'm not anybody who can say it, but he said it. Absolutely. What about this? What about in our schools? If we're not paying attention, they'll be teaching kids anything. I mean, and it'll be stuff that, like I said, it's not just going to come up and say, boom, all right, parents, got something for you. I'm going to put out a news alert today. We get emails all the time. I get like 5 of them a day at Zachary School about what's going on. But they're not going to put out an email and say, we are trying to deceive your kids, and you need to pay attention to it, because it's going to happen on Friday the 15th. Everybody show up. We're going to deceive your kids today. Woo! They're not going to say that. They're going to sneak it in on you. What about the internet? A lot of people spend a lot of time on the internet. A lot of people spend so much time on the internet that their eyes get to hurting and they can't focus on things. See, Paul is saying that we won't be able to put up a defense against it. Now, if we're not able to put up a defense against something, that means that it snuck up on us, right? That means that it came out of nowhere and we didn't know what was going to happen. We just sitting there and it just happened. See, what if, and Chad spoke about this morning, what if you're looking at this TV show and at the beginning it starts out very wholesome, just a couple of people going about their lives, and then that show starts to go downhill quick. And I mean fast. And they're talking about things and they're doing things that we have no business doing. But for the sake of it, we'll rationalize in our minds as Christians and say, well, you know what? That stuff, I'm not going to laugh at. Or when it gets really bad, I'll turn the channel and then maybe the next episode it'll be great. Right? It'll start out fine. pull you in? What if it's talking about homosexual stuff? You know, there's a homosexual couple there laughing at God. What if something's like that in the show? What do we do? Do we turn it off, or do we say we'll just go on to the next episode? Or what if we say, what if there's a man that's married to like three women? And we're like, oh, what do we do in this situation? Are we just going to turn it off? You know, as time goes along, you know, we like to laugh as humans. We get hooked on the show, and then next thing you know, it's like, what do I do? Now I got this decision I got to make. Do I not look at this show, or do I say, I'm smart enough, I'm mature enough as a Christian to deal with it? That's the option that you have. But let's talk about this TV show for a second. I bet you are thinking, really thinking, that my whole point was about homosexual activity in a TV show. And I bet you really thought I was talking about, you know, two or three wives, which is obviously wrong. Well, I got one better. Some guy saying that he's a Catholic and he's basically cursing God. All right? That's what a lot of people as Christians say. And then when we're able to see that stuff, we pat ourselves on the back. I know this is homosexual stuff. It's wrong. I shouldn't be condoning this. I know that this is, you know, stuff that's two or three wives. I shouldn't be condoning this. That's not what Paul is saying. See, that kind of stuff is like the tiger, right? That kind of stuff is like that tiger up there. You see it. Oh, I mean, if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, you in the Lord's church, and somebody comes along and says that I am, call me Father, and I'll go talk to God for you, then you should be able to easily, at the drop of a dime, say, that is not right. I know better. I'm not going to do that. I can easily diagnose that. That's the tiger. What is Paul talking about? Paul isn't saying that a tiger is going to come get you because you can see a tiger. Paul is not saying that at all. Paul is saying, listen, I'm telling you, something's going to come get you, and it's going to sneak up on you. When these armies came and they conquered towns, they would often come at night. They would come in fast and quick, and before they knew it, they were in bondage, and there was nothing they could do. So how are we going to talk about this as Christians and talk about stuff that we know is obviously wrong? Let me tell you how we're going to get tripped up as Christians. That's how. It's not going to be something that's obvious. It's going to be, you're looking at some TV show, and you think it's wholesome, and you think everything's good to go, and that some guy says, grace is the only thing that saves you. Grace is the only thing that saves you. Instead of Ephesians 2:8, it's by grace you've been saved through faith. Or somebody's going to come along and say, the only thing that counts is what you actually do. It doesn't really matter what your heart is in the situation. You're going to think this show is great. You're going to think this skit on Facebook is wholesome. You're going to think everything is good to go. And they're going to slip in a word or two that completely changes the context. And that's how we're going to get got. Because if we weren't rooted and grounded in Christ, we wouldn't know that it happened in the first place. And we're going to take that for what it is instead of picking up our Bibles. And all of a sudden, we are in bondage to a lie. That's what Paul was saying. Paul was saying it's not going to be the obvious stuff. It's not going to be something that we can just easily pick up. These philosophers were smart. They didn't come in and say, Jesus doesn't exist, and you're all crazy for thinking about Jesus. They didn't come in and say that. They came in and distorted it just a little bit, changed a word or two, and presented it on the plate and said, eat this instead of the truth. That's what they did. Paul lays it out pretty simple. He says, instead of going through all that, the reason why you're there is because you picked something up rather than Christ. See, Christ in his teachings, Christ in everything that he's taught us, Christ in everything that he's did for us, Christ in all the scripture that we have. If we focus on that, we don't have to worry about somebody coming in and taking us into bondage. If we focus on that, we don't have to worry about things getting out of control and things sneaking up on us. Being rooted and grounded is something that happens before the storm. The storm doesn't just come along and blow you over because you're already preparing for it. That's what Paul is saying. These people focused on the wrong things rather than Christ. That's how this could happen. And how does that play out to us today? The exact same way. This attitude of we could come to worship on Sunday and Wednesday and everything is done. That's how we get there. That's how we get to a point that we're not focusing on Christ. If you look at the New Testament, I just want you to think about this for a second. If you could just write down the percentage of what the New Testament is talking about and then say how much of it is actually scriptures on how to worship God on Sunday morning. I want you to think about that for a second. Just for real. I'm going to stop for a second. Think about the New Testament and how much of it is this is how you worship God on Sunday morning. And then put it in perspective as to how much of it is talking about what you do outside of this building. I would go to say it's like 95-5. Love your brother. Do right in these situations. Have the heart right, as Chad's been preaching on the Sermon on the Mount. See, we claim to be so smart. We claim to know it all as a society. And actually, we know nothing. I'm going to say this and close. At the end of the day, as Christians, or even if you're not a Christian, God is still God, whether we say so or not. And at the end of the day, he's laid out what we ought to do. And one of those things is coming to worship, that's true. But we got a lot of work to do, and that work should happen on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, just as it should on Wednesday and Sunday. Our attitudes, being focused on Christ, being rooted and grounded in him, that's like saying to a tree, I'm going to only water you on Wednesday and Sunday. You're only going to get sunlight on Wednesday and Sunday. You're only going to get nutrients to live on Wednesday and Sunday, and expecting for that tree to grow and be big and produce fruit. It's just not going to happen. We know that, so why should we even think about that in our lives? That's my lesson. I'm done. And I actually think I made it below 30 minutes this time. Now, last time I said that, Chad fussed at me and said, well, actually, you're like 34 and a half in the Chad voice. So at the end of the day, you have two options. If you are a Christian and you have not been doing the things that you should, and you may fall prey, and you have been falling prey, and you're in bondage, the wonderful thing about Christ is it gives you a chance to repent and come back to him. If you're not a Christian, this is an opportunity for you to become part of the flock, to let Jesus wash away your sins, to be right with God again. Because remember, this earth is going to pass away just like that. But all of eternity, something that we can't even grasp, is at hand. Whatever your needs may be, come now as we stand together and sing.